Praise God.
Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as I share the word with your people, I pray that whatever I say and share with them today will help them, further them along in their relationship with the precious Holy Spirit that Jesus more than ever taught and was emphatic about it before he had went up to be with you. And so, Father, today, as I've been meditating scripture and going over this, and it sure helped my life, Father. May whatever I say help your people's wonderful life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I can't remember how long ago it was. I was doing a teaching, and it was on Wednesday nights, about what it means to be led by the Spirit of God and what it means to walk in the Spirit of God. And I brought out how that when we're walking in the Spirit, that term is not used outside of the revealed will of God. In other words, you can go into Scripture, and Scripture will tell you plainly how to walk. And so when you purposely incorporate that walk out of Scripture into your life, you are automatically walking in the Spirit. But being led by the Spirit of God is a little different, because that comes down to a more personalized walk with yourself, with myself. Each and every individual, there is a direct leading of the Spirit for our life, because we can't go into Scripture that pinpoints my genealogy and what's required of me to walk in that. So I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that when He speaks to me about my personal life or things in it, that now that's more of a direct being led by the Spirit of God. And even though I've said that to you many times, I think back on my own life, how I listened to Dad Hagen speak about the difference between the walk of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, and how it never dawned on me that they were different. I always took it for granted they were one and the same, and they are not. Now, the reason I said that is because over in John chapter 16, well, first of all, go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I might say something here that's contrary to many people's beliefs, but I'm sure that you'll bear witness with it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, notice how it's worded. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And notice he says, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus was emphatic that the apostles and those who believed on him would go to Jerusalem and wait there until they receive power from on high. The word power here is a Greek word, dunamis. Now, I've heard people say this, and I do agree with it. They said it's explosive power. And that doesn't relate too well to me, to blow up things. But what really relates to me is the raw meaning of that word is achieving ability. And just like a stick of dynamite, it has power within it to move things far beyond our own strength. Well, really, this word dunamis literally means the achieving ability for our life. And notice what he connected it to. He connected it to being his witness. He says, you will witness of me. And so over there in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about that he didn't come with persuasive words in man's wisdom, but he came in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit, that our faith would not rest in men alone. Well, because we read that verse, we seem to forget about what the real purpose of the Holy Spirit was. Its real purpose is to make us good witnesses at wherever we're at, whatever we say, and whatever we do. He makes us faithful, committed witnesses to Him. Role models, good role models. That is His purpose in our life. Now, what Christians do is when they lose a direct leading of the Spirit, They might not necessarily step out of a walk of the Spirit, but they could lose a direct leading of the Spirit and mean well. But how can we avoid missing the mark with the Holy Spirit in our life? That is a craving I've had for years. And finally, I forgot how many years ago, when I got back into fellowship with the Lord, pastoring a church out of fellowship, not really connected with Him. A lot of people don't understand that. You don't have to go back into the world and go back into sin and break fellowship with God. A lot of people don't understand what it means to be in fellowship and out of fellowship. A lot of people don't understand 1 John. They say they do, but they don't. Because they don't understand what that book is really saying. That book, in essence, is saying you will have perfect fellowship with each other, providing there's an inward anointing at work within your heart. And then he says in 1 John, he says, it's anybody can say anything. But if they don't manifest what they say, they're a liar. He's saying they're not in truth. He's saying that truth really lies at the base of a person's manifestation. See, anybody can say anything they want to about their life with the Lord. But that book will tell you what will qualify them in your understanding of where they are at so that you won't become a victim of wrong fellowship. And one of the signs is they'll say something, but they'll manifest something else. And then you will know whether their fellowship with God is approved or disapproved by the Lord. Now that puts me in a place of safety. Because if somebody says they are a believer and yet manifests the wrong witness, it can throw me for a loop. It can actually, if I'm not strong in the Lord, I might be a new convert. It will allow me to compromise even my walk with God. If they are an example of Christianity, the wrong example. And so that's why the book of 1 John is so important to understand and so important to know, because the first thing that book will do will indict you. My son, Tim, I don't know whether he's here or not. Where are you at, Tim? Oh, there he is. He'll tell you the thing that I put back into his life when he had issues with people. And I was a witness with him on some of these people. And I could see very clearly how Tim could have a different concept in his fellowship with mankind and God. And I always encouraged him, Tim, let it go. Forgive. Don't think about it. Watch what you say. And Tim always took that route. Because that's the best route to go. That is the sin that so doth easily beset you and me. Is our walk with each other. Thank God we have Jesus as a witness. For consider him who had great contradiction of sinners. Who did not free himself. Did not speak it. But he committed himself to God. Many of us don't know how to commit ourselves to God. Because of somebody else's mistakes. And Tim has learned that. And still learning. Just like me. But notice he says this achieving ability, he did not say that with this achieving ability you can show the world how powerful you are in gifts of healing, miracles. He didn't say that. He said, so you will show the world my ability at work within you. Are you following? To be a good witness. I've seen people operate in the miraculous power of God, and yet their own personal life threw me for a loop. Because all that power, sometimes we in our thinking, just because they have all this power working in their life, it means that they're a touch closer to God. That's not necessarily true. Because the gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost operate according to who? According to God, not you and me. But I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's job is to make you good witnesses. You have to be a good witness or a testimony. And listen, Sue and I, when we started the church, we discovered that we had no wallpaper. We had no sheetrock for our house. It was glass. It gets you. It irritates you at first. We just hope people will grace you. Because just because you have a calling in your life doesn't mean that you were called because you were perfect. Of course, Sue and I have arrived to perfection, haven't we? Now, I want to explain something to you that will help, maybe help you discern what voice are you listening to when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, anybody can say, get the Holy Spirit and He'll talk to you and work in your heart. You know, anybody can say that, but how do I know when He's talking in my heart? You know, well, I remember when I started teaching you about this, I said, it's real simple. Just one way of thinking of how the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Here it is. He will usually speak to you outside yourself. In other words, everything that He'll speak into your heart will be as a witness that God is first place in your life, not you. He has got to have that place of preeminence. Everything that you think and say and do, it's because you have His okay to do it. What many of us do is we cough up a desire on our own, and in order for us to fulfill that desire in our heart, what we do is we look to God to validate it so we can still do it. But you got to be careful when you start functioning that way. Because you can put God on the back burner so you can get things done in the natural, then you'll care for Him. No, Him having the preeminence is that He takes the first place, and from that point on, the world and your whole life, everything, has to be ordered up according to your commitment to Him first. That's how I got out of fellowship with the Holy Ghost, is because I began to put, rather than Him directly leading me, I was walking in the Spirit, but He wasn't directly leading me, and so I began to incorporate the ministry to my advantage rather than me giving up my life for the sake of the ministry. It's different. Any of you picking up what I'm saying? It's different. Matter of fact, people who do not know how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I'm saying this as me, I will go more by what I see in the surface of things rather than allowing God to speak in my heart to remain at peace regardless of what I see. Pretty soon you'll develop how you read people and things like that. People, that is all just a bunch of confusion in your life. Because your mind has the ability to become vain in its thinking. And you can run this ticker tape and you'll see things that have no reality with whatsoever with them. I've done it time and time again as a pastor with the body of Christ. I would think a person was thinking and saying and do things one way, and then when I got really connected with them, I found out it was the furthest thing from the truth. So you can't go by what you see. You got to go by what God is communing in your own heart. See, that is so important. Now here's what makes it very difficult to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Worldly believers do not know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Worldly believers, carnal believers. And Paul mentions them. We have what we call the voice of reasoning. This is where I call voice of experiences. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Voice of experience. Let's say that you have had a negative experience in your life. That'll come with a voice. Well, I'll never let that happen again. Now, this will help you a little bit to understand how to listen to the Holy Spirit. When the voice of reasonings come, they are thoughts injected through an experience. Write that down. They're thoughts injected by experience with people, with things, with places, you name it. Okay, then another one, the voice of the devil. Satan has a voice. He injects a thought. And this is where he says something directly to your mind. Peter was the first apostle that Jesus keyed off of. That's how I'm going to build my church, off the rock of revelation knowledge. Because no one could have given that insight to Peter but the Lord himself. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And God commended him. And he said, "This is how I'm going to build my church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Then Jesus went on later and said how he was going to be able to accomplish it. You know what the gates of hell is? It's the governments of Satan. It's all of his government structure. You and I can avoid being a victim of his by being able to what? To receive revelation from God. Isn't that good news? The problem is we also have what we call a carnal mind that we inherited from the fall. It's called the mind of the senses. That means it's a mind that cannot function outside of the five senses. It can only trust off of what it sees. It can only trust off of what it touches and what it smells, what it hears. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, that mind is so centrally located on that which is physical, it doesn't know how to operate in the kingdom of God beyond the senses. And so that comes with thoughts. And what God has to do is he has to somehow be able to get you to a place where he can speak above that mind. And so we call this the carnal mind. And that's where Jesus said, if a person... Later on in Matthew 16, he goes right to it. He says, if a person knows literally how to deny his own natural thinking, I can move with that guy. That's why the wisdom of the world, it has a wisdom. But God's wisdom is higher than the wisdom of the world. Thank God for that. Amen. And so, if we understand that the voice of reasoning, the voice of the devil, then we have what we call the voice of the Spirit. This is what we call a subconscious mind that functions. And every man has it. This is the part where the Holy Spirit joins itself to the human spirit when you get born again. See, what we don't understand as believers, the Holy Spirit was not given to our carnal mind. It was not given to the voice of the body. It was given to our inner man, the Spirit. See, many of us don't really receive that concept. Kenneth Hagin preached that all the time, until finally one day sitting in one of his services, it dawned on me, oh, I caught it. Well, it made it more difficult for me to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, but I did catch it. There is the voice of the mind and there's a voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, what he does, he speaks to your human spirit, and therefore as a result of that, your natural mind either is purged from wrong thinking or it is quickened in a witness that what you thought was true is true. It just goes with the territory. But we also have the voice of physical hearing. How many of you know what I'm talking about there? Those other three voices were inward, but the voice of physical hearing, this means a voice that reaches the conscious mind. This is where we have input outside of ourself. That's why Satan, if you rely on the voice of a witness outside of yourself, there's where you're more vulnerable to whatever the world has to offer than anything else. That's why when the world speaks, it can have a wisdom to it. But in order for you to be protected from the physical realm of the voice of this world, you need this inward voice discerned in its proper setting so that the voice of the outward world cannot penetrate the voice of the inward. Just here recently, God spoke to me. It hasn't been recent. It's been quite a while. But he told me, I want you up every morning and I want you to read a chapter of Proverbs. I've gotten so much insight from doing that. It's incredible because of what's involved in it. Now, I want to make this as simple as I can. So you all over there in John 16? Get over there in John chapter 16. That's right, you were at Acts 1:8. Get over in John 16. And I want to keep preaching this to you because, you know, Revelation's funny. Having Revelation, it's funny. Because it takes certain words said a certain way, and then it's like it goes from here, plunk, and then you just know, wow. You know, you tell people that all the time, but until you keep experiencing it, then you learn to fine-tune yourself. Well, first of all, in John chapter 16, I want to go back to what is being said there by Jesus concerning the function of the Holy Spirit. If you know how He is going to approach the world and what He has to bring it light, then it's good to know what He's saying, how He's saying it, so that we understand His voice a little clearer in us. He first of all says in John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11, that's what we're going to read through real quick like. He says, as a result of the works of Jesus, He is going to be able to do something for the world. As a result of the works of Christ, He's going to be able to do something for the world. Here it is. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Boy, verse 8 is loaded. Now notice, He capitalizes on the three. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to where? To His Father, and you see Me no more. No more physical Jesus. And the last thing, verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Boy, verse 11 is almost virtually unknown to the church world. How can I make that statement? Because I can turn TV on and listen to their messages, and they lack some understanding, especially in this verse. The word judge there, or judgment and judge, is two different Greek words. And so, now let's get back focused on what is the Holy Spirit going to do for the whole world? Well, number one, He's going to convict. What does it mean here to convict? Are you ready? This word convict literally means to show what is right from what is wrong. To show what is right from what is wrong. But this word has a little more oomph to it. It literally means not only to show you what's right from wrong, but it will literally have the power to convince you, of your error. How many of you ever had, you were going to do something and God spoke to you in your heart just real quick like, no! And you went and did it anyway. Every one of us have done that. I'm telling you, there ain't no prima donnas here. Right? We've all been there. Now, He says the first thing He's going to do, he is going to literally convince of right from wrong. And I'm going to tell you, religion don't know God. When you have a form of religion that will allow a homosexual in the pulpit. They don't know God. Why? Because they're not born again. Why? They don't have the spirit of, they have the spirit of Antichrist in them. John's the one that brings that up. Alright. Now notice what he says. Let's get down to 9, 10, and 11. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Now this word for sin here, how many of you been here when I taught on Romans chapter 7 about harmatia? Okay, this means, are you ready? The missing, the true end and scope of a person's life. To miss or missing the true end and scope of a person's life. When a person gets into harmatia, to miss the mark with God, see, a lot of times we look at harmatia as an individual act of sin. Did you know that just because you have an individual act of sin doesn't necessarily mean you're going to miss the true end and mark of God that God has for your life? Do you guys know that? Now, a single act of sin comes out of harmatia. But really, when he says here, he is going to convict the world of sin, is not only will he deal with single acts of sin, but he'll also deal with the issue of your ability to miss the mark of his leading you. Now, how do you lose the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life? Get disinterested in the gospel. Get disinterested in the fellowship of the brethren and sisters in the kingdom of God. Put everything in the background so you can live the way you want to. Now, he's saying here, because of sin, how people can miss the true end and scope of their life. What a wonderful Holy Spirit. The second one is of righteousness. You know, it's very interesting, this statement of righteousness. He says, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. This word for righteousness here means a higher authority which a person adopts as his own standard. A higher authority. He can function by a higher authority than his own. It means the authority that God would give so that he could function in that higher authority. Boy, I tell you, when you start understanding these statements here about the Holy Spirit, man, you learn to cherish him more in your life. Of righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Wouldn't it be nice to see Jesus all the time when you had to do right from wrong and doing the right thing and doing the wrong? Wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus right with you all the time? Wouldn't that be easier? No. Because you can't spread him out enough. He had to send the Holy Spirit into your heart. That's why he had to go to the Father. So each of us have a GPS in our heart called Holy Spirit. Praise God. And those GPSs work real good. Now, one thing that really breaks your heart is see a person who has received Jesus and give you such negative testimony. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm losing my job. I can't get financing, my credit ruined, people are misusing me, I've been ripped off, oh. Of course, me having a pastor's heart and not a heart of leadership, what do I say?
Well, just pray about
it. No, I don't say get over it. You know what get over it comes from? It's called evangelists. They can come in and slap you up alongside the head, say straighten up and leave town. Pastor, don't do that. He's got to find out, what is your problem, you poor little thing? How many know what I'm talking about? Well, maybe some of you don't. I've learned this. God, being no respecter of person, that statement confuses me. It confused me for a long time until I really started searching it out. Romans 2:11 says, there is no respecter of persons with God. It's mentioned again in Acts 10:34. Peter said that God is no respecter of persons. Literally, he shows no partiality. Literally, this word is two words. It means face to face with a person. To receive a person of face value only. God doesn't do that. Well, if that's the case, then how do we make the distinction with God? How do we make the distinction with God? Well, John 3:16. One is, whom he will receive. But the other rests on who he is willing to promote. follow me real close on this, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. If you have a testimony of complete disaster in your life and you're not making headway, you feel like a Christian walking up the side of a mud hill, and for every step you take, you'd go three back. Here's the key. Are you ready? Huh. The way you're saying and doing things is wrong. Oh. I'm sorry I put that on you. Thank God there's another church down the street. Most people want favor with God to promote them. Give them favor with man. And never change the way they live before God and man. That basically has no integrity in it. God finally woke up one day. I was concerned about a few brothers, and I woke up one day, and God says, the problem is not me. The problem's in them. If God is going to promote favor in the eyes of others for you, what is He going to use to promote favor on your behalf with? I usually find that people lose jobs because they're poor at it. They don't show up to work on time. They're not good workers. They're sick all the time. Matter of fact, when we were building this building, I had a hard time getting certain things done because of the type of workers these contracts would hire. They had a scaffolding right here, up way up to the ceiling. I walked into the sanctuary one day and I heard this guy crying out. And I look up there. And I looked at his work and I went into shock because all his battings looked like they were all wadded together and just stapled up there. Then I saw the other side where this other worker worked and it was just smooth and nice. Well, you know, that batting has to go up there, right? That's a metal ceiling. The condensation will form and next thing you know, we'll have spots all over our ceiling. Well, that's what happened anyway. So I yelled up there and I said, what do you want? And he says, help me get off the scaffolding. Well, he's a meth head. He was freaking out over drugs in him. And I told his owner, I said, his boss, I don't want that guy back in my sanctuary because he could fall off that scaffolding. And I don't want to pay the price of his fall. And besides, look at his work. And the guy goes, oh. I said, that's meth head work. Because some people just don't know how to conduct themselves in life. They don't know how to be full of integrity and to do the right thing and to say the right thing and treat people right. The Holy Spirit, His number one goal in your life is so that you will be a witness. And when you say something, you'll do what you say and you will follow through with it and you will be upright in what you say. You cannot lie and steal and cheat people and do things the way you want to do them. Expect God to promote you to somebody else. If God is going to promote favor in the eyes of others for you, what is He going to use to promote favor on your behalf? What is there in you that's of Him to use in ministry for others on His behalf? He has to come from what's in you, not him. Proverbs 11:27, he who diligently seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. This word good is moral goodness and virtue. Proverbs 13:50, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at sin. Hebrew literally means guilt. Fools mock at guilt, but among the upright there is favor. Why? When a person feels guilty about something, God's able to speak to him to bring the guilt. And if he don't take heed to it, then he will come to himself as a fool. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he should have been capitalized, makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. People might not agree with you, but they like what you do. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablets of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Woo! Isn't that good? I had somebody tell me, I forgot who it was.
Well, Tim's just got too good of a heart.
My son, they were.
He's too good. They take advantage of him.
I said, I'd rather them be the one taking the advantage, but I want my son to keep his good heart. You got to keep a heart caring for people. He can't do anything hardly at all for himself without thinking about somebody else. That's what I see in my son, Tim. Is it to a fault? Sometimes. Deal with me later, Tim. You know what favor means? To show partiality towards one for the purpose of him to be in the advantage of others. Whoa, but God's not supposed to be that. He's no respecter of persons when it comes to who will receive him. But he is a respecter of persons according to how they do things, say things, and act. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be successful in life, get the right spirit about you, and you will succeed, in spite of people. Right, because you'll pick the right ones to be around. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround him with a shield. The righteous is an ordinary person who is honest and true and justice with other men. I'm going to tell you something. Unrighteousness works in a man who thinks more about money than a person's soul. I just heard a sad story. Can't remember the full details of it. But this guy that bilked all these billions of dollars from people, and then his partner just died from a... Madoff, yeah. Well, his partner... What's his name? No, not his son. I know his son committed suicide. I know that. But his partner that just drowned. Yeah, the wife gave up the money, but he's the one that died. And they felt that he was probably embezzling from Madoff. I thought that was pretty strange, you know. Thick as thieves, that's where that story comes from. But I brought that up to say this. A man will sell his own soul for money. It's crazy. It's crazy. And the world doesn't know how to avoid that. Because these guys aren't saved. Now, if the Holy Spirit can work in their heart and life, then he'll redeem them from that sin. You know, we go, oh my gosh, how can a man do that? Well, he's not saved. That's how he can do it. If you get saved, you won't carry on with those kind of things. You know. But I'm saying that to say all of this. The power that is in money, you've got to be careful at all costs. Especially when you're getting involved in the issues of money. You've got to have the Holy Spirit first place in your life. Before you make any decisions on the power of money. Why? Satan is in control of the system of money in this world. And God has anointed believers to know how to tap into that system and take advantage of it. The Holy Spirit's job is to give you an advantage. That's what favor is. To give you an advantage. Well, I'll tell you what, it don't come easily. Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to close on this and then we'll go into... of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That is a powerful verse. We'll get into that next, well, maybe next Sunday, but I might have something extra on my heart for Christmas. Because isn't Christmas Saturday? I just want to say this in closing. Satan is the god of this world. He understands how money functions. God also understands how money functions. Because God gave him his wealth. That's what turned it into pride. Money has a pride about it. If you really want to succeed financially in your heart and life, The way that you can know that you will succeed is if the Lord has the preeminence over the issue of money. See, what happens to many believers fall away from the kingdom of God, especially even in our church, is they've gone after money to bless the kingdom of God at the expense of their own spirituality. They will not succeed. You have to keep God first place in your life in order for you to successfully follow Him over the issue of money. Goes with the territory. That's why when you understand the book of James, the whole book is about the influence of money that had gotten into the church. And one of the things that James clearly defined and said it would not change with time, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. There's two words for the word gift there. The first one is called dora, which literally means the intent or purpose for God to give you something. And dorema, the second verse, is because He knows the end results of what you'll do with it. And the trouble is that we're our own hearts, our own natural heart is very deceivable. And so if money has any first place in our life, you're not going to sit there and talk God into joining you when money is first place in your life. Because when you get money into your hand, you will change. Not me. I never change. Rick Sharkey knows a lady that said that too. Husband left her. Eventually she had to walk to Sunday school. He never wanted her to even go to the church. She become, what was it, a lotto winner or something. And disappeared. Never entered the church again. Lost all her earnings. Became a millionaire and disappeared. See, it's what's in your heart that God uses to bless you with. See, if your heart is in blessing the kingdom of God, but yet your heart, He doesn't have the preeminence, you're in a lotto system. Go buy a ticket and hope you win. He's got to be first place in your life. And then everything else will fit in. Whew. Hallelujah. Am I blessed? Absolutely. Has our church been blessed? Absolutely. Now, I don't know all of you who gives into our church, and I don't want to know your personal giving. But I do know one thing. You guys take good care of us. If things get down a little bit, all as I say is, hey, you guys, you got to get up in your little giving. And man, you guys skyrocket. And just, man, we're just trucking along. I have pastor after pastor that is under me in my region. I've receded 20 years in giving and all. Well, I hope you're teaching your people right. But basically they teach your people, if you give, you're going to get. People, you give because you honor God. Period, overnight. Bottom line. You'll never hear a message come out of me.
Well, if there's a law of sowing and reaping, if you sow little, you'll reap little. You sow much, you'll reap.
Problem with that doctrine is it's got to go through your heart. I like what Kefro Dollar said. He said, yeah, there's a principle of the law of sowing and reaping. But he said, really, you should be giving with honor off that principle. You know, a good farmer, when he plants a crop, that crop will do him justice if he does it right. Amen. You all straighten up. Matter of fact, I think it was Bob. I was talking to him about a brother who believes the tithe is done away with. And Bob turns and says, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Forget it. Hallelujah. Did y'all get something here tonight? Or this morning? Stand up and I'm going to let you go. Well, stand up, everybody. You can stay up this time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank You so much for these wonderful people that have come here today. Father, I pray that they get a hold of the understanding of what it means to let that anointing live in you. Father, next Sunday, if it's the Lord's willing, I might have a special message for them concerning why you came in the manger. But Father, as we do one or two more messages on the Holy Ghost, I pray your people really connect with that so that they can be more led. May their life be on purpose than by accident. It's not in our way, our natural way of living, where we'll find direction. Father, it's through your Holy Spirit that we will find direction for our life. Bless everyone here today. Father, if there's anybody that needs prayer for healing, we want to pray for them. If there's anybody here that wants to be filled with the Spirit, we want to pray with them. If there's anybody here that wants salvation, we want to pray for them. So, Father, when we dismiss them this morning, may they come forward for that need. In Jesus' name.